Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What they're doing defensively is special. Offensively, though, I feel like Washington right now is winning in spite of Taylor Heinicke, not because of Taylor Heinicke. And here's what I mean. I went to some of the numbers here. There's been a complete change in philosophy since Taylor Heinicke's taken over as a starting quarterback here in Washington. I gave you the numbers in the last segment. Carson Wentz weeks 1 through 5, 42 passing attempts per game. Taylor Heinicke weeks 6 through 12, 27 passing attempts per game. So clearly, those numbers tell you Washington is a different team. Right now, Washington has found a different offensive identity, and it's beautiful. The only thing that frustrates me is it hasn't necessarily led to points. And I wonder, is that on the quarterback or is that just on the style of play? Because if you look at it, Carson Wentz was never given this situation that Taylor Heinicke's been gifted. All Washington is asking Taylor Heinicke right now to be is a game manager. That's it. And part of the role of being a game manager is not turning the football over. That's the area where I think Taylor Heinicke must improve, or his lifespan as a starting quarterback here in Washington isn't going to be long. Whether you all like it or not, whether you're punch drunk with the Moxie stuff, whether you're punch drunk with the fact that he's a good dude and he slept on his sister's couch, that's the difference between me and a lot of you guys out there. I don't give a damn about the feel-good story. I care about results, right? And since I'm saying that, I should be all for Taylor Heinicke, right? He's what, 6-1 as a starter here in Washington? Yeah, it's all fine and dandy, but guess what? Should be 7-0. Should be 7-0. He single-handedly, in his first start against Green Bay, and Denton knows this, as we were doing Burgundy and Gold Game Day Live, myself, Denton Day, and Logan Paulson, we're talking and watching this game, he single-handedly tried to throw you out of the Packers game in that first half. The inconsistencies with Taylor Heinicke and protecting the football are eventually going to come back and bite this football team in the ass. It almost happened on Sunday against Atlanta. The situation before the half, what was it, like 30, 40 seconds left on the clock? You got all three of your timeouts. Your defense is fresh off of a 4th-and-1 stop. You get the football back. And instead of being hungry and searching for three, Taylor Heinicke gets greedy. And we've seen this a lot with him. I don't know if it's greed. I don't know if it's just straight-up bad decision-making. He tries to force the ball into Jahan Dotson. It gets picked off when you have Antonio Gibson and Logan Thomas running butterball naked in the flat. I mean, those are the plays that if Washington is going to be considered as one of the elite teams in football, you need those 3 points going into the half, especially when you get ball coming out of the locker room and you have the opportunity to put your foot on the neck of your opponent. You need those plays. You need those plays. And I'm not trying to nitpick at Taylor Heinicke. That's not what this is. I'm just pointing out the facts, right? That's all I'm here to do. Even going back last weekend in the game against Houston, a game I thought he played much better in. I thought he played much better against Houston than he played against Atlanta. And against Houston, you all remember the play to Terry McLaurin. Damn near throws an interception. That's who Taylor Heinicke has been, though, since he's taken over as the starting quarterback here in Washington. That's who he is. And I think it's about time that we become accustomed to that. But I can't get too comfortable with that because that eventually is going to start costing you football games. And that's what I worry about with Taylor Heinicke. This season, in reserve, taking the place of Carson Wentz, Taylor Heinicke started 6 football games. He's turned the ball over in 5 of those 6 football games. Are we surprised by that, though? That's who Taylor Heinicke is. He started 15 games for you a season ago. And he threw 15 interceptions. That's why we were hungry and desperate in search of a franchise starting quarterback here in Washington this offseason. Anyone who would listen. Washington was telling them, hey, we need a quarterback. But we end up with Carson Wentz. He gets hurt, and now we're at this point. And the phone lines are open. 301-230-0980 is the number. I want to open it up to you guys on this. What should our expectations be for Taylor Heinicke moving forward for the remainder of this season? And do you trust him to keep Carson Wentz on the bench? Straight up. 301-230-0980 is the number here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. I got some more numbers here, though, for you all that really tell the story of this Commanders offense since Taylor Heinicke's taken over. Washington, during Carson Wentz's five starts in weeks 1-5, they were running the ball 23 times per game. That was tied for 23rd most in the National Football League. These numbers that I'm giving you, by the way, via our friend Nikki Javala over at the Washington Post. She covers the Washington Commanders for the Post. She put together this great graphic and this great chart to really let the numbers tell the story on what they should do at the quarterback position. There's a reason Ron Rivera was hesitant to name Taylor the starter for the remainder of the season. Because he understands, just like I do, at any moment this roller coaster ride could be over. At any moment, this fairy tale could come to an end. And it almost happened Sunday against Atlanta, because guess what? If they would have lost 20-19 to the Atlanta Falcons, if they would have scored during that final sequence of the football game, I guarantee you guys would be calling in here blaming the defense. Oh, they gave up a stop. They need to get a stop at the end of the game. How are they a championship-level group when the game's on the line and they come up short? The hell with that. Anytime you give up only 20 points in a football game, that's good enough to win. That's good enough to win. I told you the numbers running the football for Washington. During Wentz's starts, 23rd in rush attempts per game at 23 rushing attempts per game. In weeks 6-12, during this recent stretch of hot play, Washington's running the ball 36 times per game. That's second most in the entire National Football League. That goes to show you there has been a clear change in the offensive philosophy for the Washington Commanders. It's simple. The question I wonder is, could Carson Wentz have the same or better production playing this style of football? 301-230-0980 is the number here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Linnell Willingham in this morning for Sheehan. The question is simple. We've seen Taylor Heinicke here for six starts. I just gave you some of the numbers. Do you think that Carson Wentz would have similar or better production with this offensive philosophy that Washington's found here in the last 6 weeks? Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Bill in Arlington. What's happening? What's going on, Bill?
I don't think it's as simple as that. I think you keep Taylor on a quick hook. I agree with what you're saying, that there's potentially more upside with Wentz, but you got to factor the play calling as a function of score differential. You know, were they up? Were they down? The defense is playing better. The offensive line is gelled. And ultimately, you go back to the fact that Wentz opened the season 1-4 and looked terrible doing it. So it's not like you have Johnny Unitas in the wings.
Very true.
But that said, I think you put him on a short leash and you say, you know, let's see where we go. Right now, it's good enough. I think you asked the question of, is it good enough? I think you should say, is it good enough to keep winning? It's a question of, is it good enough to avoid losing? And right now, it is. So I think you stick with it.
Hey, Bill, I appreciate the call, my man. Look, I agree with what Bill said. He just hit on a very interesting point here. Another reason why Carson Wentz's pass attempt numbers were that high was the defense also wasn't playing well during those five games that he started. But in hindsight, that's something else that Taylor Heinicke's got to benefit from here in this situation. I got some of the numbers on the Commanders' defense here. In the first 5 weeks of the season, the Washington Commanders were giving up 25.6 points per contest. That was good for 25th in the National Football League. In weeks 6-12, they're third in opponent scoring, giving up a shade over 15 points a game. That's a complete 180 turnaround. And look, I said it yesterday on the Burgundy and Gold Today. When you're playing defense at this level, it doesn't matter who the hell's under center. You're going to be in each and every football game. Let's not be short-sighted here, though. Would you rather just be in every football game, or would you rather have the opportunity to win every football game? That's the question you've got to ask yourself here if you're the Washington Commanders. And Bill hit it on the head. I do believe the leash of Taylor Heinicke is very short. I believe we are one poor Taylor Heinicke performance, and coupled with a loss, If those two things happen in combination, I do think this team will go back to Carson Wentz, and I wouldn't blame them for doing that. Let's go to Mutu and Frederick. What's happening? What's going on, Mutu?
No, good to be on with you this early, man.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. What I feel about this whole thing is that if you look at the – if you ask the question, who is the long-term solution of the quarterback spot, I would have to say it's Wentz. I think what people keep forgetting is Wentz, the O-line was not playing this well. Our defense wasn't playing this well. And we weren't running the ball this well when Wentz were in there early in the season. And also, Heineke's had a whole season more with McLaurin and, you know, some of the other receivers.
Right.
So he's got that chemistry. Wentz got to build that up. You know, you hear all this stuff about, oh, yeah, the players rallying around Heineke. Man, Wentz built some chemistry, start getting them ball. See whose bandwagon they're going to be on. I think Wentz going to put up more points. He's going to be throwing for more yards. We could leave it like it is now because we are winning, right? We got
right.
The formula. Heineke worries me, though, because of these plays. And I hate to say it, I hope he really don't hurt us in a critical game. God knows, a playoff game.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm, let me add one more thing. You know, they say, oh, Heineke, he's mobile and he's Wentz was getting sacked and Heineke can move. And but here's the problem. Heineke can't throw on the move.
Yeah. And we appreciate the call, Mutu. We got a break here soon. We got Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He covers the Commanders. He's getting ready to join us here next. We'll take Jonesy here before we get to that. What's going on, Jonesy?
Hey, what's going on, Linnell?
What's going on, man?
Hey, man, look, you said it. You said it. You said they asking Wentz and Heineke to do two different things, man. And that's what it is. Heineke, also, you got to look at it. This is his second season under this daggone offense, too, man.
Yeah, it's the only offense he's ever ran.
Longer rope. He has longer rope. But I'm going to say this, too, and this is nobody said this. There's something to be said with Wentz standing over there on the sideline watching from afar because he's seeing where he can pretty much solidify himself and get a little better at, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've seen quarterbacks stand on that sideline, and then once they get that second shot at it, boom, okay, they hit the ground running once again. So I think, you know, we're going to see Wentz again before it's all over with, man, because I don't think we can keep on doing, like you said, with a cloud of dust per week. We're on a respirator, man, at end of games every week.
Look, Jonesy, I appreciate your call. I wouldn't say that they're on a respirator because that would make things look doom and gloom here. I'm of the belief that you can help me out on this. What type of metaphor should we use? They're not on a respirator right now, but damn it, they're on their way. They're on their way. I'm on record saying it. I do believe this defense right now is playing at a championship level. Eventually, though, the lack of production from the quarterback position may come back to bite this group.
No, the offense is hooping on a rolled ankle. that's what's going on. You got some tape.
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
But they... But they're hooping on a rolled ankle.
We got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Michael Phillips, who covers the Commanders for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, is set to join the show. We'll ask him the same question regarding the quarterback position. Does he think Taylor Heineke finishes as the starter for the remaining five games? We'll ask Michael Phillips that next. This is the Team 980.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Crowd screaming out, we want that. Those
haters can't stand us. Left hand up, who are we? The Commanders. Could this eventually be the official fight song for the Washington Commanders moving forward? That's the discussion I think we need to have here in the coming weeks. If this win streak continues and this stretch of good play continues, when we talk about this in the future, we may be remembering this song just as much as we're remembering the recent stretch of good play. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books, download the BetQL app today, is Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Michael, how you feeling, man?
Left hand up, baby. You know what? Winning streaks are fun because you can do whatever you want. It becomes a thing. Like, remember a couple of years ago, Ron, like, threw a rock at the wall. And, like,
yeah.
This thing. Like, yeah. They threw a rock at the wall. Like, even as I say it, like, that's so ridiculous. But they were winning, so it was fun. B-Rob's wearing a big hat. Big hats are fun now because they're winning. If they had lost and he'd worn a big hat, yeah. Big hats would not be in right now.
Michael, if you can, take me back to Sunday and describe the mood and the atmosphere in that Commanders locker room after that huge win. Defense obviously wins it on the final play of the game. Explain the mood in that locker room post-game.
Obviously everybody's feeling really good, and rightfully so. After the Houston game, and remember, you know, they were expected to win in Houston. It was a short week. They had played on Philly Monday night, so I think right. That... You know, there was concern it was a trap game. After that game, it was a very business-like locker room. And I think that mentality has carried. I think this is a group that has realized they could make the playoffs, and they could legitimately make the playoffs. But I think they also know right now they're fourth place in the NFC East. And so the win streak is great, and they're celebrating. But they've really turned the focus, turned the focus over the last couple of weeks towards we are not – where we need to be to achieve the goals that we have. And I think they understand these are two really big games against the New York Giants on deck.
How much is the quarterback position going to be responsible for whether or not they're able to close out this season strong? Before you hopped on with us, Mike, I gave the fans some of the numbers. Nikki Javala put out a great graphic, I believe, 2 days ago, giving the offensive numbers, showing their turnaround here in the last 6 weeks, and then the defense's turnaround here in the last 6 weeks. I want to focus with you on this passing attempts per game. Carson Wentz during weeks 1 through 5, third most passing attempts in the NFL at 42. Taylor Heinicke during this six-game stretch, throwing the ball 27 times per game, 26th most. Is it that simple? And do you think Carson Wentz would be able to have the same success with this formula that they have going right now?
Well, we spend a lot of time talking about the offense, the quarterback, and rightfully so. I think if you're going to say, why are they winning? The story has to start with the defense. The defense got good, and they weren't the first few weeks. And that was a real – people like, y'all overreacted, sounding the panic button. No, that was legitimate. They were 1-4, and the defense stunk. They didn't against Philly. That was kind of the first time we started to see the turn. They were good against Tennessee. But those first three games, that defense stunk. And then they got good. They got good really quickly. And that is unquestionably, to me, the story of the season. Now, obviously, the offense is doing some things, too. To me, the question isn't whether or not Carson could do it. I think he could, of course, do everything Taylor Heinicke did on Sunday from an athletic football perspective. And the question is whether Scott Turner would be calling games this way if he was, if Wentz was available. Heinicke being the quarterback has led to them calling an offense that primarily goes through Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson, and a little bit of Jonathan Williams, Curtis Samuel mixed in. It's been enormously successful. If Carson Wentz were the quarterback, would they be calling for an offense that gives the quarterback 120 passing yards a game? I don't know. It's so hard to untangle all these threads sometime where you say, okay, yes, Carson can do physically do everything Taylor is doing. There's very few. I think back, the play in Philly where Heinicke saved what would have been like a 25-yard loss on the botched snap and threw it away. That I'll put that one on the scorecard. Like that's maybe one I wouldn't have seen Carson do. But also, Heinicke scrambles on Sunday, gets a wide open Terry in the end zone, sails it 5 feet over his head. Yeah. Like, that's the one he wants back, you know?
Yeah.
And not that Carson can't overthrow guys. Carson can overthrow guys with the best of them.
Right.
That's one of his strengths, too. but in terms of, you know, I think Heinicke being in there has enabled Scott Turner to call games in the correct way. And I think that's been a difference maker as well.
Michael, I want to push back a little bit on what you said, because I don't know if it has to necessarily do with the quarterback. We kind of saw them in Carson's final start against Chicago start to lean into this philosophy. That was the first game all year where they had run the ball, I believe, 25 times or more. They averaged 4.6 yards a pop. Carson only throws it 22 times. He gets hurt in that game, but it felt like they were starting to lean into that anyway. I just wonder, are we one bad Taylor Heinicke performance, coupled with a loss away from going back to Wentz?
It's funny. I think about the winning streaks, and obviously 2012 was the gold standard of winning streaks. Like, right. Just everybody was losing their mind. This town was electric. You know, Robert was the future. It was great. That was the one. But then you think about 20. I'm going to mess up my dates here. 18, where they're 6-3 going into the game against, or they're 6-3 going into the game against Houston, where Alex Smith snaps his leg. That was an antsy fan base. Like, that was an angsty fan base. That was a 6-3 NFC East leading team, and nobody felt good about the team. Like, that was just a salty fan base at 6-3 because they felt like it was built on smoke and mirrors, and then Alex Smith got hurt, the whole thing unraveled. This is somewhere between the two, but maybe closer to that. I don't know. It seems like there's every game, all my Twitter mentions are is people yelling for Sam Howell, and I'm sure once Carson's healthy, they'll be yelling for Carson. I don't know, man. Sometimes it's best not to think too hard about these things.
Right.
And, you know, I'd certainly say with regard to the Chicago game, Carson's finger was broken. That's right. Why they ran the ball in the second half there. I'd also say this. Football's a game of inches, man. You know that.
Right.
If that Bears dude gets in the end zone on the last play,
are we even here right now?
We're not talking about none of this.
Right. Definitely. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today is Commanders Insider for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, Michael Phillips. You can follow him on Twitter, at MichaelPRTD. I want to go back to Sunday for a second, Mike. The performance defensively of rookie cornerback Christian Holmes, I believe he played all but three defensive snaps. He had that face mask that obviously was untimely, but outside of that, it didn't feel like we heard his name called a ton. Grade his performance from Sunday and then speak to the newfound depth potentially that Washington has at the cornerback spot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, just say going back to William Jackson getting benched and released, that made that unit better. Addition by subtraction, so to speak. Give Christian Holmes his props. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. To step in like that against, you know, I know Marcus Mariota doesn't incite fear in the hearts of men, but that's a good receiving core,
right.
And they had a really good game plan. And the cornerbacks had to do a lot of run stopping because they ran to the edges and they used Cordell Patterson to get to the edges. And you know, Marcus Mariota scrambled a lot. You know, that was a full team defensive effort. It wasn't like Houston where, you know, it was really just defensive line getting the job done. I two injuries this season that I thought might cripple them. One, you know, was it linebacker when Cole Holcomb got hurt? I thought, oh geez, you can't put all that on Jamin Davis. Like, he's not capable of doing that. And then he did it. And then Benjamin St. Juice goes down and you say, oh, man, like, I like Christian Holmes. I like how he's developing. That's going to be too much to put on him. And it wasn't. And, you know, it really speaks to the depth they're building here. I'd throw in the offensive line, too, because they stunk earlier this season. And they've really developed nicely and have had to use a lot of those depth pieces. It's a tribute to the coaching staff.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, man. I think it's something that is a pleasant surprise. And it seems like it's the last couple of years now that they've found some mid to late round gems in the secondary, Cam Curl, Benjamin St. Juice, Christian Holmes, and Derek Forrest are all key contributors right now to this. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, or tell me if I need to pump the brakes. I've been saying it all week. Championship-level defense, man. When you're turning people over and making game-winning plays, that's the telltale sign to me.
It's a really good defense, and you know, and it's one of the best in the NFC for sure. you know, I don't know that they could hang with the Bills and Chiefs. You know, even that Eagles game, yeah. you get two really fortunate breaks on that Monday nighter, the Jamin mm-hmm. Davis face mask that goes uncalled, and then, you know, I'm trying. Oh, the long pass that Hurts completes where he fumbles
How'd
it
you
right
forget?
After. you know, two big chunk plays that would normally turn into points get negated. You know, obviously credit to the defense for being in the right place, but a small element of luck involved there as well. So I'm not prepared to say like these guys could win a Super Bowl.
Right.
But I think that it's probably time to say, I think they should split against the Giants for sure. And if you could steal the other one, if you could find a way, this is a playoff team.
Yeah. Let's flip to the defensive side of the football and then start to take a peek ahead at this week's matchup against the New York Giants. Obviously, the season, pretty much, you're in playoff mode right now, really, ever since last weekend against Atlanta. You got two of your next three against the New York Giants. Tell me if I'm wrong with this. I feel like Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons, maybe, just maybe, that Falcons defense exposed a weakness in the Commanders defense. This is something that's been an issue ever since Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio have gotten here. Their inability to stop quarterbacks in the read option. Do you worry about that this weekend against Daniel Jones, who's looked like white Michael Vick against this group?
yeah, that's exactly it. You don't need to tip Daniel Jones off to that. He's been licking his chops ever since he saw these guys on the schedule. The Daniel Jones numbers and splits of him against the rest of the league and him against Washington are insane and always have been insane. He's a Hall of Famer against these guys and then regresses in every other game he's ever played in his life. You're absolutely right. You know, this is something they are going to have to really shore up between now and Sunday, and it's going to be a key piece to whether or not they win this football game. I'm not scared of the Giants receivers. I think Saquon Barkley's really good, but I'm not scared of any running back with this defensive line. I think they're better than the best running games right now. I really do. But man, that's the wild card. That's for you to say they could hit you there and they can make you pay. I don't know what that looks like, but I know that Jack Del Rio's got his work cut out for him, and you're absolutely right. That the Giants are going to push that button until it stops working. There's no indication that Washington's found the magic formula yet, at least based on Sunday's game.
Want to take things off the field here for a second, and I just want you to give your instant reaction and then the crowd's reaction when Sean Taylor's memorial was unveiled this Sunday.
Yeah, and it seems to have swung back and forth a little bit here. You know, it was obviously very negative out of the gate. And then I've seen a lot more people kind of go to bat because, you know, the family was happy, and then that's what matters. I hope that a couple of things come out of this. One is that with all due respect to Sean Taylor, a legend who is deserving of accolades, we need to stop having Sean Taylor days. That's the last one.
Mike almost took me out with that. I do understand what you're saying. I get it, though. Because look at a guy like Bobby Mitchell who hasn't gotten his flowers properly here.
It's time to have some other days. And this is a historic franchise. This is a franchise that was built with the efforts of many great players, many of whom are aging. And it is time to give them their flowers. I hope we're done here. And number two is, I don't know that I pin 100% of this on Jason Wright, because I think this is a tough building to operate in.
Yeah.
But if you look at the Jason Wright tenure, he came in here with one big job, and that was to rebrand. He needed to rebrand the team and get it successfully launched. And I don't know that a lot of people would give them, you know, strong grades for the rebrand. I don't think it went very well, to be honest. Now, that's where I said I don't know how much I'm putting on Jason, because was that a winnable assignment? You know, was that an assignment he could have got an A on? I don't know that it was. So obviously we're going to kick it and we're going to say it didn't go well. Could it have gone well? I don't know. I know I don't like the name. It's tough. Then, you know, you said Sean Taylor thing happens midweek. It's, you know, that if what he's saying is true last year, that they really were planning that months in advance, that's obviously a pretty big L for him. The 90 greatest rollout was pretty floppy and bad. but he's brought competency in other areas. There's certainly positives on the tenure as well. So, you know, it's tough for me to sit here and kick him over and over and give him a failing grade when I think until ownership, the guy sitting in that chair does not have a chance of succeeding.
I want to ask you a little bit more about the ownership situation. I don't know if you saw the new billionaire that is bought into Monumental Sports Group. Do you think Ted Leonsis and company with their new partner would be interested in the Commanders?
I continue to see Ted Leonsis as a minority investor with the new group. And I'm not reporting here, Linnell, but I think everybody is taking it for granted he's going to buy the Nationals. You know, it would be a pretty major stunner at this point if he didn't. So you're talking about a guy who controls three of the four major sports in this town and obviously a pretty good portfolio beyond that. WNBA, esports, the network, all that. That's a guy you want in your corner. So whoever it is, I don't think he's going to outright buy the team or majority buy the team, but whoever buys the team would be smart to bring him in a 10% role, in a 20% role as a minority investor, because that's going to give you juice in the market. That's going to help you market alongside the other teams. That's going to get you the airtime on NBC Sports Washington, on Monumental, on those things. So I continue to think he's a key player in this, but not the player in this. I don't think he's going to be introduced as the new owner of the Washington Commanders.
Just to play devil's advocate and do some hypotheticals here, could you imagine one man being in control of all the major sports franchises in the city? I mean, it's unlike anything we could even dream of. I mean, it would be an absolutely ludicrous scenario. I agree with you when you say it. It feels like it's a foregone conclusion that he'll buy the Nats. And then, yeah, it would be smart to have him in your corner. He's got money, and he knows the area from a business standpoint more than anybody else. I'll let you go on this, Mike. Chase Young, do you expect him to play this week?
I do expect him to play this week. I think that the benefit of him playing this week is he gets 2 weeks of rest and recovery after. And I think that would allow the trainers and the coaches to really get a sense of what he's going to be capable of down the stretch. So I think they would like him to play. I'll give you one more Leonsis thought, though. If he owned all four, those Twitter mentions would be like such whiplash. Like, one team's winning a title, one team sucks. Like, it's like, at Ted Leonsis, like, you're the man, you're the best, let's throw you up right. The other one, like, you suck, why don't you do something with, you know, Bradley Beal or whatever. Like, you know.
it would be nuts, man. It would be a super monopoly like anything we've ever seen before.
It really would be.
I definitely am low-key rooting for it, even if it's in a minority role, just to have the ability to talk about it on the airways. It'd be great.
Mike,
I appreciate you giving us some time, my man. You're going to be out at practice today. What are you expecting to hear?
You know, a little bit of rain right now, they may bring it inside, which would make it a lower-key practice. I'm also expecting, even if they're outdoors, this to be fairly low tempo. Ron has kind of taken the pads off in recent weeks and allowed them to do a little bit more mental work as opposed to physical work out there. I'm always excited to hear from Taylor Heinicke on Wednesdays. I love that dude. Setting aside whatever thoughts everybody has about whether he needs to be benched, he's a fun story. And you know, we only get a certain number of these Wednesdays with him, so I try to enjoy them all.
All right, Mike, continue to do your thing, my man. Appreciate you giving us some time.
Take care, dude.
That is Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Michael P. RTD. We got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll put a bow on things. Liddell Willingham in for Kevin Sheehan. This is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and also streaming live on the Free Odyssey app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got
got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Team 980 and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Linnell Willingham in for Kevin Sheehan this morning. Kevin dealing with a personal matter. We've had a fun time, though, here in our, what's been, 2 hours, 40 minutes. I'm not a math guy by any stretch of the imagination. Bethany College, Magruder High School, stand up. You did not do me any service in the math department, but I made it. Whew, I'm out of breath because during the break, I sprinted to the bathroom. I don't think I've ever, this was shades of 2015 Linnell Willingham being one of the premier edge rushers in Montgomery County. Look me up if you don't believe me. I know
there was some twitch there.
You saw it, right?
There was some twitch. The scouts liked what they saw.
Elite get off. You want to talk about a guy who really prioritizes doing the number one in the morning.
Strong hands to open the door quickly, but not hit yourself in the face because you're moving. That's body control.
I've been here before. I want to give a big shout out to Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He just hopped on with us in the last segment. If you missed any of that, make sure you use the Odyssey Rewind feature. Go back to about 8:22 or so for my conversation with Michael Phillips. What we talk about at the tail end of that is how I want to finish up the show here today. He said he does expect defensive end Chase Young to make his season debut Sunday against the New York Giants. If you want to call in and chime in on that, the phone lines are open here for the last segment, 301-230-0980. You could tweet at me as well, NELL_BTP. He said he expects Chase to play against the Giants. I don't. I've been on record saying this. I don't think that they're going to be comfortable playing him on that playing surface. And the fact that it's raining outside today, meaning that they're going to be inside in the practice bubble, I think that also means that maybe, just maybe, Chase isn't going to be able to go on the inside. But I do anticipate him playing after the bye week. I definitely do expect him to play after the bye. I just wonder, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, what are our expectations for Chase? How well do we expect him to perform? I looked at third downs, and Ron Rivera said he expected him, when he did eventually return, to play roughly 10 to 15 snaps per game. Sunday in the game against Atlanta, the Falcons were in third down 10 different times, so that's probably 10 different scenarios in which you can get Chase Young on the field in obvious passing situations. I just wonder, man, we may have to temper our expectations. I know I've definitely done that when talking about Chase and what I can expect from him. I will say this, though. The way this defense is playing right now, do you run the risk of potentially messing up the mojo that they've got right now? The big buzzword last year for Ron Rivera when describing this Commanders defensive front was their maturity or lack thereof. And when he was talking about that, Warren Sapp even hit on it this summer when he was out of training camp. When you're playing in this style of defense, you don't have the room for guys to be freelancing up front and doing their own thing. You must maintain gap integrity, and they've done that through the course of this season. And I think, you know, Chase was a guilty party of that last year, freelancing and doing his own thing. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's a hell or high water thing with that. It's hit or miss. If it does work, obviously you end up with sacks and things like that. But if it doesn't work, you leave up huge, huge holes in this Commanders defensive front. And I think it allows mobile quarterbacks to exploit that and create plays outside of the pocket and make those off-schedule throws. I just wonder, though, does this defense, in fact, need Chase Young? Obviously, the way that they're playing right now, you can say that the only thing that they might need is a little bit more time on the sideline if this offense can't get their act together. But I don't know, man. I'm on record saying I think they're playing at a championship level. I was getting ready here as I ran back from the bathroom. Our good friend Chris Russell in studio here with us now. Chris, I brought you in here because I was talking about the charity work that you're doing, and I mentioned it on the air, and I didn't want to butcher it, so I thought I'd give you the opportunity to do that here quickly.
Yeah, that's awesome of you. I appreciate you. I appreciate the retweet last night and all that. Just so what everybody knows, Best Buddies of D.C., Northern Virginia, Best Buddies International. Obviously, again, this is just the local arm, if you will. So Friday night at the Reagan Building, they're having their annual homecoming gala. Tommy McFly of NBC4, who used to work in this building, I've known Tommy for a while. He MCs it. I'll be there. I'm basically, I guess, what they're, you know, referring to me as as an ambassador or whatever.
Yeah, it's no small thing, yeah, man.
Me and Woody Johnson, we're ambassadors. Woody Johnson's like the ambassador of Ireland, and I'm the ambassador of Best Buddies, which I am thrilled about. Molly Whelan runs it. She is awesome. She is tremendous. She is coordinated. I mean, if I told you the amount of communication and the amount of detail that she's got to communicate and deal with just from me, I can't imagine what she's dealing with from everybody. But, well, you know, CK was so awesome as well, allowing me to, you know, talk to, you know, the Junkies and Brian Mitchell and Doc and this show, you know, or my show, I guess, where we're going to have a producer for a day. So we have bidding experiences.
Okay.
And memorabilia items, and again, sports and non-sports experiences that are available for both online auction right now and then silent auction on Friday night for 6 to 8 at the Reagan Building.
Okay.
And then from 8 to 9, they're having the live auction, which is like an extension of that. So it's all available now. I got all the links up. You can donate, you can click the link, you can bid, you can come to the event, you can buy tickets. It's a wonderful, 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 wonderful organization supporting adults and young adults with special needs and intellectual disabilities. Everybody knows my son has Down syndrome and autistic traits, so he is fired up about it, even though he's not going to be able to be there because he's in Ohio. He's helping out in a special way that we're going to unveil on Friday night.
Can't wait for that.
And it's just awesome, and we have a walk coming up at the end of April, so you know I'm going to ask you guys to be a part of all of that. So I think we should use our platform as best we can to not only brag about our opinions and what we know and what we think and what we like, but also to help others, you know, that certainly can, you know, use help and support and resources. So that's what we're trying to do, and I appreciate all you guys for being awesome.
Of course, man. Look at you. For all the flack you get, look at you. You're a damn good dude.
I'm a big freaking softy at heart. I'm a big old teddy bear.
My man.
I'm a big old teddy bear. You want to stick around and do a little more radio with me?
Oh, of course. Okay. You know I would love to.
Because Pedro is in Nashville.
Okay.
So we
shocker,
think
doing just multiple gigs at a time. Too. He just
doing
never takes a break.
4,000 jobs. So we think he's going to be ready to go a little bit later on this hour. Okay. But you know, I need a pal.
Oh, I would love to team it up with you.
So you know, I'm just going to we're just going to have flip seats.
This is what they do to me. All my OGs come in the studio and they relegate me to the other side of the room.
I mean, I love Kevin Sheehan, but when I found out that Liddell Willingham was on, I said, oh. I said,
oh man, here
now
we go.
I'm following a legend. A legend.
Wow. Don't get too
and
far
then
ahead
I'm preceding
yourself.
A legend when Doc and the voice of the Commanders
oh, did you
takes
do that?
Over.
Say it again. Scotty did a damn good job.
The voice of the Commanders, baby.
We were cracking jokes. I was surprised they were able to find a headset to fit Scott's head.
I mean,
it's amazing that they were able to get that done.
You know.
Shout out my guy, Scott Jackson, man.
Listen, when I heard that and then I heard some of the calls, I was like, I mean, we are walking in the mere presence of icons.
He's a legend.
Here. Icons. I mean, we're talking about Frank Herzog level icons here. Man.
Once in a lifetime, man. He goes on the Mount Rushmore of DC media folks, along with people like yourself. Russell Medhurst coming up next. Apparently, it's going to be Russell Medhurst and Willingham. Russell Medhurst and Willingham. I'll hop on with you. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Big thanks to our guests this show, Chase Hughes of NBC Sports Washington and Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. If you missed any of the show, make sure you go back and download the podcast. Kevin should be back tomorrow. If he's not, hopefully it's some more of me. Youngest in Charge movement out. Russell Medhurst is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.